So back in World War II, is this on? Yep. General MacArthur in the South Pacific, as they were fighting from island to island, they were on the one of the Philippine islands, and they were, he was looking for, in doing his strategizing, he was looking for a quicker way toward victory on the island, he thought he had found a way that if he was able to have a bridge built across this narrow but chasm, then they could kind of get to the enemy's flank and get to a quicker victory, and by doing so, save hundreds, if not thousands, of lives. And so he called in his chief engineer, one of the CBs, and he asked him, he said, you know, can we get a bridge to cross that river that's in that chasm, and how long would it take? And the engineer said, 3 days. So the engineer was told, go ahead and draw up the plans. And 3 days later, MacArthur called him in and he asked for the plans, and the engineer seemed rather surprised. He said, well, the bridge is built. If you can cross it now, we can move all our equipment and men across there, but if you want plans, then you'll have to wait a little longer. Reckless abandon? No, hardly. Just expertise put to work. Urgency driving men forward. The story that Carrie shared moments ago is shared in 3 of the 4 Gospels, which tells us something, doesn't it? It means it's important. The urgency of sharing the gospel is so important that it can't wait for the perfect conditions or a detailed plan. But while Jesus was not being reckless, he was calling for the disciples' abandonment to the mission. And so this morning we're going to walk through that story a little bit. We want to see the importance of that teaching that he gave them and that he has given us. What does it mean, and how does it apply to our lives in this moment? So let's begin at the beginning. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases. 3 key words are found there. They're words that answer so many of the objections that we often raise to this thing that we call sharing the gospel or evangelism. The first one is called. The root word, kaleo. The word that is written there means called together with. That is, it's very intentional. It is a directive calling. It's not to an office, so we can't say, oh, it's meant for those guys and those 12 apostles only. Nope. It is a calling, a commission for all of us. By virtue of us having received Christ, by virtue of the Holy Spirit having come and to abide in us, having been baptized, we are called to ministry. Jesus has laid claim to our lives. Paul said, remember, you're bought with a price. So no believer can say, not my job, man. It's all of us. We're all called. The second word is power. Power. It means ability or potential. One of the first objections that we often raise is to the thought of evangelism is that we think of ourselves as powerless, as unable. Well, Jesus sent them on this mission with the same power that he had been exercising in his ministry. He said that, he told his disciples a little later, said, anything that I have done, you will do greater. Now think about that one for a moment. And why would he say that if it were not true? So I think we can expect no less. Jesus promised to send his advocate, his helper, the Holy Spirit, to abide in us, to empower us. And Paul confirms that this has happened. He said, in my own experience, I have experienced this power in life and ministry. He wrote to the Ephesians, when you believed, you were marked within him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. We are given the power, the ability. The third word is authority. Authority. It means just that, or can mean right. As I put up on the screen, think ambassador. Because this word was often used in regarding the authorization of an emissary or an ambassador to represent the head of state. That what they said could be taken as the very word of the head of state. We are meant to be Jesus's mouthpiece. Now, the intense influence of our culture's emphasis upon the fact that they believe there's no absolutes and there's only individual rights often prompts the question that many ask, who are you to tell me that I need Jesus? Or what right do you have to say that what you are telling me is the only truth? But friends, Jesus' disciples were given the spiritual authority to not only do that, but to go beyond that, to cast out demons. It is a spiritual authority. People were released from bondage. And when you look around in our culture today and across the world, you see so much bondage. Bondage to evil ideas, wrong thinking, bondage to in addiction to drugs and alcohol and pornography and our materialism. And Jesus also said, I'm going to give you power to heal. To heal. Two weeks ago, over at dinner church, a woman came in and she was having a lot of pain in her arm, in her wrist area particularly, as I recall. And she asked for prayer. And she asked Becky, and Becky prayed for her. And a little later, she was asked, how's your arm? She says, it doesn't hurt anymore. I don't remember, but I don't know that anyone else in the room heard or saw what was going on. There wasn't fanfare. There was a simple prayer of faith, in faith. Lord, heal this woman's arm. And we can only take her word for it. I believe healing is very much possible, because I don't believe that the gifts of God have ceased. I believe that grace is grace, and God is very active in our world today, and He has invited you and I to be a part of that, to be His instrument, to be His vessel for His grace to flow through and touch the lives of others. What it boils down to is, do we trust Him? Do we take Jesus at His word? So, just these three words alone tell me that Jesus was not being reckless, but He was calling them to be abandoned to the mission that He had given them. And I would say to you this morning that that is true for you and I. He's not being reckless. He's going to give you the supplies that are needed. He's going to give you the power that's needed. Verse 2. Jesus sent them with a purpose. He said that He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God. The word proclaim there is often translated preach. But it's real. Tone, its real intent is to say announce, that kind of proclamation, to announce. They were sent out to announce the Messiah had come, and that with Him, He had brought with Him the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God was breaking into the world. That was the reason He came. John the Baptist said, in looking forward, he says, the kingdom of God is near. He's coming. But Jesus was able to proclaim that the kingdom of God had come in Him. And we are part of that kingdom. As believers, as followers of Christ, we are part of it. While Jesus' teachings and miracles, were signs of the kingdom, they were like saying, here, this is the kingdom of God at work in this world. Here, God's kingdom is breaking in. A person's life is restored. Here, the kingdom has come, and this person has been raised to new life. Here, in this kingdom of God, this poor, desperate woman has been healed. Here is a man who had only trusted and sought after all the goods of the world, and having heard the truth of the gospel, he says to anyone that I've stolen from, I'll return to them. How many fold over? Wasn't it something like four? Pretty big transformation. We're called ourselves to, by Christ, to announce His coming, that He has come. And what did He come to do? Well, He came and He died for our sin, our rebellion against God, our brokenness. He died to set the captive free. He died to bring healing. And in His coming, He not only died, but He was resurrected to new life. the kind of light that you and I can receive, have received in the Spirit. And he ascended it. And so we too, you too, can enjoy fellowship with God for eternity. What are we talking about there? We're talking about the gospel. You could, I'm sure, share that. You know it in your heart of hearts. I'm sure you've sat, many of you sat in these pews 20, 30, 40, 50 years or more, 60 years, some of you, and heard that gospel. But that doesn't sound reckless. But you know, they say, wait a minute, Brian, what about that next part? And it might sound a little reckless. He says, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. The disciples were to travel light. And interestingly enough, indeed, that the food and the luggage and the money were made conspicuous by their absence. To what end? To what purpose? Well, his instruction was not to deprive them of resources. I think quite the opposite. His intention was for them to depend upon him. One thing Becky and I have learned is that our stuff can certainly be a major encumbrance to the mission. It can get in the way of our relationship with Christ. And we have to let go. Jesus calls us to trust him. Not to trust on some method, not to trust over some new program as such, but rather to look to him. And that's what's behind our prayer emphasis that's coming up for the season of Lent. Lent itself is the season of prayer and self-denial. And my hope and prayer is that as we give some direction in that, that we will look to him, that we will seek discernment by the Spirit, that we'll seek direction as to what we will do, and trust that he will provide the resources, and he'll provide the authority, he'll provide the power for us to be a part of his work in this neighborhood and community. No, he wasn't being reckless. And Jesus goes on to tell them and us to be gracious. He says, whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave town. It would have been a great insult for a person to accept the hospitality of one in their home and then a little later moved on across town to another. Jesus said, don't do that. Accept the hospitality of the person who's given you shelter. Be thankful. Be considerate of your host. Now, the truth is, you and I may not be traveling too far. We may not have to stay in any of the place but our home. But we do need to be aware, I think Jesus would say, that we need to be aware of the social and cultural norms, that we need to be considerate and gracious of those with whom we interact and share the gospel with. Just think how different that is from a good part of our culture today, because there are significant parts of our culture, the cancel culture is filled with anger and toxicity. How different if you're simply gracious. The fact that it is so different is compelling. It provides us a great opportunity to share the good news of Jesus. Now, the last of his instruction here tells them that just as he had met with those who did not accept him or his message, they would also find rejection. There would be those who said no. He says, if people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Rejection's tough sometimes. You know, for my 30 days that I was in car sales, I learned a valuable lesson. I learned that not every person that comes in on the lot and that I meet, I'm not going to sell a car to every one of them. I don't know how many I met on the lot in those 30 days, but I sold six, which they said was pretty good for a beginner. I'm sure I'm glad I learned in those 30 days that I didn't want to do that anymore, I did see that the very best of car salesmen, I mean the kind that can, you know, sell swimming suits to Eskimos, their success rate is about 25, maybe 30%. Now, there was a couple of guys on the lot there in that dealership that were making six figures as car salesmen. I did too, but the decimal point was in the wrong place. You know, when we share Christ, we can be certain that there will be times that people do not receive what we are telling them about, what we're offering. Wesley was quite clear. He said, we have one thing to do. He said this way, I have one thing to do, and that is offer Christ. And that's what he believed about the Methodist movement. Each one had one thing to do, and that was offer Christ. But when we are rejected, Jesus says, shake the dust off your feet. It was a way of saying that I am relieved of any responsibility regarding God's judgment concerning you. Now think about that for a moment. Who is going to bear the responsibility beforehand? The one who was called to share the gospel. I remember a pastoral appointment that went so badly, and I was so deeply injured, my family was, that as we were moving, I stopped at the city limits as I was leaving with the U-Haul, got out of the truck, and wiped the dust off my feet. I was so hurt, so angry. But now I reflect back and think, how sad. How sad for them. And Becky's heard me say, I'm never going through that place again. I'll go 100 miles out of the way to avoid it. Lord knows I've been known to pray for them at times lately. It's okay. We're all going to experience it from time to time. More often than not, maybe. But we have a calling. So having gone through these instructions of Jesus, we might ask, well, wait a minute, is that all there is, Jesus? Is that all you told those guys when they left, before they left? Didn't you tell them any more? Well, think about it for a moment. I'm sure that, you know, he's been teaching them, and they have been observing him for quite some time now. He's been modeling it for them, and they've heard his teaching, they've seen his ministry, and so what we have here is a bit of a summary. And we have to remember, too, that this was a long mission. It was one of those that, okay, you guys go out there and you give it a whirl and then come back. And we'll talk it out. We'll have a debriefing. But nevertheless, it's still very instructive for us now, don't you think? And there'll be more instructions to come. Randy Newman, he's a senior fellow at the C.S. Lewis Institute. He's a senior fellow for apologetics and evangelism. And he was sharing that, you know, evangelism is intimidating. He was sharing that with some of the, a couple of people that are his seniors, his supervisor, if you will. And he asked then, he says, can I change the name of my position? And they said, well, maybe. What are you thinking about? He says, I want to be called the evangelistic chicken. Because we are. But Jesus calls us to it. He calls us to trust him in the midst of it. Now my prayer and plan is to provide more instruction to prepare us for our calling and to help do it in a way that we can go forward with, in his power and his authority to share the good news. Jesus says, go. He says that to us all. Do you hear him calling? It's not reckless abandonment that he calls us to. It's simply abandonment to him. Let's pray. Jesus, you call us to do the one thing that, well, in some ways we've been conditioned and trained in our culture not to do. All the more reason to do it. And Lord, we know that in ourselves we are quite lacking, but we also know that in you we can. We can. And so, Lord, in your power and your authority, send us. In your precious name.